B-Pod Studios.
On the line, we have the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Finished off the Brooklyn Nets four straight last night to win the Series 5-4-1, and to wait to the Toronto Raptors. He, of course, is Brett Brown, and he's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Brett, nice job last night, and I guess I got to ask you, where did you sense your guys would come out with the killer instinct they had last night?
I did. I think that sort of we understood trying to find a way to break their spirit as soon as we could. And closeout games, you always find that. Like, when is somebody's sort of will to continue to fight going to break? And I think that our guys really were adamant on trying to force feed that as soon as possible. The margin surprised me, Mike, as far as the quickness of our lead, but the mentality did not.
Yeah, I actually thought that you guys and everybody thought that the series was over after the last game. And so I thought you guys were going to come in at kind of a malaise, but it was just the opposite. It's like you broke that team's spirit in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was proud of the the execution of our defense for the large majority of the series. You know, I think after game two, when we sort of were just hanging around and finally we sort of bit, I think, with a truer conviction of, like, what's our purpose? What are we trying to do defensively? That we took off. You know, I think we scored through our defense. I think there was a belief through our defense. And last night, I think our defense and the physicality of it was a good way to sort of put your final thumbprint on the series.
Yeah, you know, the adjustments that you made in the series are being lauded by a lot of fans here. And so I'm curious to know, after you saw game one, what did you feel you had to do as a coach to adjust? What specific things did you concentrate on?
Some of them were driven just by watching the game and feeling it. Some of it was driven by, for example, James Ennis's health, you know, allowed me to give him more minutes. And, you know, through that, you were able to sort of give Jimmy the ball more and not play TJ as much in this series. TJ obviously still has a place on our team, but in that particular series, we just wanted to get shooters on the floor, and James's availability allowed us to do that. And then sort of incrementally in the series offensively, just trying to pick on targets and put different people in pick and rolls and post different people based on the matchups. I think defensively, sort of the nuances of a holistic game plan, we were able to drill down and, you know, leave different types of people and not guard them and stay on the high side of people like Harris or D'Angelo, or, you know, really have Ben be on D'Angelo as much as we could. I thought he had an outstanding series defensively. But things like that we were able to do and, you know, just sort of walk down a game plan and conclude it like we did last
year. Yeah, a lot of defense is strategy, and you did. And the strategy for this series was to take away their perimeter because they really didn't have that much to go beyond that. So is it my imagination, or did you stop switching as much as you had been and kept guys fighting through screens, like keeping a guy like JJ to go with Harris and letting Ben handle D'Angelo Russell?
It is true that in certain plays and certain environments, what you just said is true. We still have sort of like our switch groups that we've minimized a little bit. You know, JJ's the one that I pay attention to the most, where you just don't want to put him in sort of unfavorable situations with great penetrators. And I thought JJ defensively, you know, was in sort of a hard show. We call it a hedge, a show, call it what you want, just something that was sort of the point of contact of the screen. He'd get out and show some level of resistance and then go back to his own. We were able to keep JJ more on his own man in that environment. But defensively, like I say, I'm really, it's probably the thing that I leave that series with, that I think can have the most carryover to Toronto.
All right, let's talk about Toronto. First of all, let's talk about the health. Embiid's health is always a question. He looked good last night in 20 minutes. But is this the type of thing that is going to carry on and you're going to have to manage minutes? Or is it, let's go now? It's the semifinals, let's go.
I don't think it's going to be at that stage. I think there's going to be still sort of judgment, you know, as things get closer. I can tell you that Joel has been incredibly professional and sort of incredibly responsible with his role in all of this. And so what that looks like is stuff, you know, in alter G's and finding ways to maintain his conditioning and extra sessions with strength and conditioning. But as it relates to like a full-fledged available Joel Embiid, I can't promise that. I hope it, but I can't say that right now.
All right. There's a big difference between this team you're going to be playing now and the Nets, with all due respect to the Nets. There are more areas of the floor you're going to have to cover, be conscious of covering. Can you play the same way against Toronto, or are you going to have to adjust defensively to handle what they bring?
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have to adjust. You know, you're not going to play, you know, Kawhi Leonard as an example, the same way you would play, say, D'Angelo. You know, we really just tried to stalk D'Angelo and chase him downhill into 7'4" and 7'2" centers, great rim protectors. And I think with Kawhi, you know, he's probably going to see some greater level of resistance than we were able to do, say, with D'Angelo. And so all over the place, Mike, I think there are pieces that will carry over for sure. But like any series you go into, we're going to have to drill down on what we do with Ibaka, you know, as a pick and pop guy or Kawhi in a pick and roll type things.
Yeah, and on that note, how does it affect your rotation now? Because you got away with playing Boban against the Nets. You might not be able to get away with it against Toronto. How do you feel you're going to handle that?
Yeah, it's on my mind. You know, I hope that at some level we can continue to play Boban. How long and what my tolerance level is doing that, we will find out. But your point on, you know, Ibaka and Gasol being their five men is challenging because both of those guys can step out and make threes. And they can make long twos at a high percentage. And so my decision on what we do with the five-man and Boban in particular, it's still on the table, but it's certainly a big question going into the series.
Does this mean that Bolden may see some time in this series that he did not see in the first?
He might. Yeah, no, he might. I think, you know, your options become sort of Greg Monroe or Jonah Bolden. And maybe, you know, you go small ball a little bit, but I doubt it. And so I think Jonah, you know, probably would be my expectation for the first choice in the event that Boban's not the guy.
What's the deal with Mike Scott? Will he be ready to play?
I don't know. Right now we're going through treatments, and we're going to find out more later today. But as I speak, I don't know what his availability will be.
All right. Brett, you know, you've taken a lot of criticism over the you know, this season, even though you guys have won 50 games plus again. But you're being lauded now. You're back on top with this fan base. Do you pay attention to any of that stuff?
I don't because, you know, you live in the city, you're aware of it. It's really, Mike, I'm at a stage now where I've been doing this a long time. And I love what I do. You know, we've knocked out two 50-win seasons, and we're back in the semifinals. And I'm proud of what we've built. I think all of us, you know, if you had said this is where we were going to be after the 10-win season, we'd be pretty proud. And we got a 25-year-old and a 22-year-old all-star along the way. And so, you know, those are my memories more than the noise.
Did this series seem to gild you guys as a team? Everybody's been after the elusive, when is this team going to get together? They haven't had enough teams, games to get together. This series has proven, I think, to a lot of people that you did come together as a cohesive unit. Do you believe that?
I think that we're moving in the right direction. You know, I'll always because I've been around so many teams, you're always going to be mindful of this team hasn't been with each other a lot. And so as series get more serious and as teams that you're playing get better, you see different things. And I think for the first series, I do agree with what you just said, but we still got work to do, and we still are going to be incredibly tested, especially in this next series.
All right, all these meetings you have going today, strategic meetings, film study?
Doing a lot of, offense, defense prep type stuff.
All right, well, I'll let you get back to that. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Great job.
Yeah, Mike, good stuff. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Brett Brown, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.